So we concluded the traditional Advent season on Christmas Eve, and we had a wonderful service, and I didn't do it that evening, and I forgot afterwards, but I just want to say thank you to everyone who came and worked so that we could have that service, our worship team, our AV team, and then our youngsters team out there handing out candles for us. But, you know, at the Little LAF, we do things a little different, you know, as I mentioned early. So our sermon series included The Anticipation by Josh, The Arrival was delivered by Jeff, The Return and The Remembrance, and today is not an official Advent message, but it does go along with the theme, and hence the lamp today. So does anyone have the post-Christmas blues yet? Anybody? No one? Yeah. I do. Things change, don't they? You know, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, Christmas afternoon, but by Christmas night, things get a little different, right? How many of you have ceased listening to Christmas music? Okay. You know, Jingle Bell Rock just doesn't have the same after Christmas, right? But, you know, we can suffer from the Christmas postscript blues, and I do a little bit, and I don't know if you are. And so today's message is really built around that theme a bit. Now, a few weeks ago, I referenced a song that included oil in my lamp, to which you all looked at me like a cow staring at a new gate, which is kind of like this. And so that song is the inspiration for today's message, and I would like to share that with you in its entirety today. Are we ready? Are you ready? You ready? Okay. Go ahead and turn it up a little bit. They need to really feel it.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And I will sing, Hosanna, sing.
You can
Hosanna,
sing along, it's okay.
Sing,
don't let Ronnie keep you down.
Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Keep me praising till the break of day.
No other church in town has courage like this.
Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna.
Got one more stanza, and then we're going to all sing together on the chorus.
Here we go again.
You too, Cody.
Give me gas in my Ford. Keep me trucking for the Lord. Give me gas in my Ford, I pray. Give me gas in my Ford.
Courage.
Keep me trucking for the
Lord.
Keep me trucking till the break of day.
And I say,
sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King.
I got my learner's permit.
Give me unction in my gumption. Help me function.
I forgot about that. We can't go out without gumption.
I pray. Give me unction in my gumption.
This gumption fits very well in the King James churches.
At the break of day.
Good King James.
Sing, Hosanna.
Ronnie, perhaps
sing,
you've heard of this
Hosanna,
great Christian band,
sing,
the VeggieTales.
Does
granddaughter watch VeggieTales? She used to.
Sing, Hosanna to the
All
King.
Right. So there you go. Hey, give it a round. Yeah. Who doesn't like VeggieTales, right? So, the Christmas blues are a real thing. In fact, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 64% of people report being affected by holiday depression, and it's most often triggered by the financial, emotional, and physical stress of the season. Did you experience any of those? If you did, say amen. Amen. Some of you guys just aren't telling the truth yet this morning. But for others, coming down from the high after the most high, wonderful time of the year can bring on a post-holiday blues. And that's true. Like I said, I have a little taste of it myself. Also known as post-vacation syndrome, stress or depression, this slump can hit hard after a period of intense emotional stress. Post-holiday blues share many of the same characteristics or symptoms of anxiety or mood disorders, including insomnia, low energy, irritability, difficulty concentrating, and anxiousness. Ronnie. Yeah. The irritableness. But like most depressions, this one occurs in a smaller quantity and for a shorter period of time, typically. Now, the challenge that we face is this, is now that Christmas, the day of Christmas is behind us, we turn towards a new year, which is exciting and anxious all at the same time. And we turn towards new challenges and opportunities. And depending on what your life is like, the Christmas season may be the only time of year where the routine of life kind of gets interrupted a little bit. And that's part of it. We put so much into the holiday season, and it builds in our minds. I liked this when I read this. The brain exaggerates the realities of the day of day-to-day life, making the return to mundane seem disappointingly more anxious-inducing and depressing. So in our minds, as we face going back to our day-to-day normal, we exaggerate the difficulties or the boredom or whatever it is that may be a challenge to you in light of the holidays, right? So today is entitled A Christian's Guide to Being Refilled. Because I don't know about you. I burned a lot of oil getting ready for Christmas and Christmas Eve. I tell you, for me, when I leave campus on Christmas Eve, I'm the last one to leave. I get to feeling because that's it. You know, now it's Christmas anyway, that's enough about me. Let's look. We must remember that the Lord is always good. Amen? It's not just on Christmas Day, and it's not just during the Christmas season. That same God is the same God the other 11 months. And God is good. Sometimes things aren't good, but even in those, God is good. And as Christians, we need to remind ourselves of that, and we need to help the world understand that as well. Even in March, the Lord is good. Even in July, the Lord is good. We must remember that the Lord knows us. He really knows us. It's easy when we launch into a new year, we get a little lost, a little uncertain, because we look back over the last 12 months, and can we just all agree? Gee whiz, what 12 months. And we don't know what the next 12 months holds, because we didn't know what this 12 months would hold. But we need to remind ourselves that the Lord knows us. He knows you. He really knows you. Let's look. Nahum, the first chapter, 7th verse says this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him." He knows us. He knows everything about us all the time at one time. Now, there's things I don't know about myself. There's things that you don't know about me. But you know what? I'm guessing there's things about you that I don't know either. Psalms 90 says this, you have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. The Lord knows us, our good, our bad, and our ugly. Amen? And yet he still loves us. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. The Lord knows us so intimately that just the number, and that's astonishing to me. I read one time, this is how nerdy I am. I read one time, they did a study. I'm sure your tax dollars funded it. They did a study on how many hair, strands of hair, the average person loses in a day. And it averages out to be about 200. 200 in a day, which, depending, can be a lot. But imagine if you're changing that math every day. That would, I couldn't do it. I just don't have the skills. We must remember that there is a hope and a help available if, let's all say that word together, shall we? Choose. Okay, let's try one more time. Let's say that word together. Choose to pursue it. There is help and there is hope, but there's a choice to be made, and the choice is ours. Help and hope are always there. Why? Because God is always there. The choice that has to be made is, are we going to pursue it? Are we going to receive it? And are we going to walk in it? So let's look at what that is. Psalms 27 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, and who shall I dread? The Lord is my light." And there's been an ongoing theme through the Advent and even with today's illustration of light. Light is important. Light is therapeutic. Life is vital for us to feel normal. It's an important thing. Verse 36 says this, "For with you is a fountain of life. In your light we see light." Have you ever been in a situation of absolute dark? I have. And it's kind of cool a little bit for a little while. I don't know if you know this, but miners are taught and trained that in the event of either an electrical outage or a collapse where there's no light in the mine, that they are to close their eyes and keep them closed. You say, well, Jimmy, why would they do that? Because it's dark. Because the human eye will search so hard to see light that over an extended period of time, you can actually go blind looking for light. And so today, if our world isn't looking for light, I'm not sure exactly what they're looking for. And the Bible tells us that if we walk in the Lord, we walk in light. And when we walk in light, not only can we dispense light, but we can enjoy light and we can find the comforts of light. Matthew 11 says this, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, I realize that the holidays have all of their unique stresses and strains, but there's a sense of rest to it as well. I joked on Christmas Eve, did anyone drive by just to see Walmart's parking lot empty? That's an amazing thing because it's never empty. But on Christmas, it is. And we find a sense of rest to some degree that we feel like we're losing as we turn our eyes and our attention towards a new year. But the Lord tells us that if we will come to Him, He will give us rest. So today I wanted to use this illustration inspired by that song. Let me just say, up here, it smells like a log cabin. That oil lamp is burning and if someone were to have brought me coffee or something, I'd have been really close to heaven. So, no, not you, Ronnie. I know. It's okay. Yeah, if you ever order coffee at Sonic, they'll realize something's gone haywire. So today, I want to use a very simple item and maybe over-exaggerate the illustration, but we're going to have a little fun. So today we have in our presence an oil lamp. Now for an oil lamp to work, it's a very basic piece of equipment. You need a wick, you need fuel, and you need a fire source. That's all you need to make this apparatus fully functional. And so it's the parts of that apparatus that I want us to look at. The bottom is called the fuel tank or a font or the oil lamp body. Then there's a collar where it connects. There's the burner that handles the wick. There's the wick, and then there's the lamp globe or the chimney. It's very basic, right? So today I would like to compare us to this very basic piece of equipment. We, my friends, are the font where the oil goes. We are a container. The Bible says we are vessels. And in that vessel, what we put in is what comes out, right? A lot of people claim a lot of things, but when you put a little pressure around it, what really is inside comes out. What we are filled with really makes a difference, amen? If we're filled with the world, and I'm not saying everything in the world is evil, but if we're filled solely with the world, we could do better. How about that? So let's look at this. Anyone have a car? That's pretty much everybody. Does everyone put fuel in your car? That's pretty much everyone. Now, how many of you know there's regular, unleaded, supreme unleaded? Man, look at the bruise I put on my finger yesterday, love. That's an aside. There's diesel, and there's, what's some of the others? E10? I don't even know what E10 is. And then, isn't there an 88 something? I see a yes. Okay. So that's seven different types of fuel, right? But how many does your car accept and function optimally on? Three. Now, if you just roll in the dough and you got to put that super unleaded in, that's good for you. Not me. Pearl, she runs on the basic. You see, just like your car, you can fill your gas tank up with water. That's a lot less expensive than gasoline, but guess what? No bueno. What the instrument is filled with is vital for the ability and usability of the instrument. We could fill this font up with 101 things. But if we don't put the right fuel inside, it's not going to function properly. The Bible says that we are either filled with ourselves or filled with the world, and that's true. Now, the challenge that we face is sometimes a little oil and water gets mixed. Have you ever tried to run something with a little water in the gas? It's not enjoyable. It's frustrating at best. So let's look. 1 Corinthians says this, "For in one spirit we are all baptized into the body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." The oil in our font is God the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that at the point of our salvation, by his grace and through our faith, God the Holy Spirit takes residence, fills us, and seals us. It's important for something to be sealed because it helps to prevent other things from coming in and it helps prevent things going out. One of my favorite things to do is if you go, you know, Starbucks, I know for sure I'll use them as an illustration. But if I go through the drive-thru, my coffee, I ask for 180 degrees, and you say, how hot is that? That's scorching. That'll put a blister on your thigh if you drop it. Trust me, I know. And they'll say, do you want a stopper in there? And I'll go, oh, no, it makes it much harder to spill. And it just causes them to stop, you know. So, but the oil in our lives is God's Spirit indwelling us. And the Bible says that unless God's Spirit indwells us, we don't belong to the Lord. You say, well, Jimmy, that's kind of harsh. Well, I'm just saying what the Bible says. And, you know, if that is disagreeable to you, you can take it up with the Lord. That's okay. But God's Holy Spirit indwells his people, and God's Holy Spirit seals his people, a mark of ownership and authority. And that mark is placed into our lives as a guarantee of all the promises that have been made to us. What are those? Heaven. We'll just stop right there for this morning. Oil represents the presence and the power of the Spirit of God through the Bible. Jesus was often referred to as the Anointed One, using oil as a metaphor for the Holy Spirit being present and acting in Christ. In the Bible, olive oil is placed beside water, wine, and bread as major Christian symbols. Secondly, we are filled and see, oh, I'm so good, I got ahead of myself. The wick. Now, the wick is very important. The wick is the director and the definer of the oil. Now, this oil we could light, if we put it in a bowl, we could light and it would burn, but it wouldn't burn consistently, it wouldn't burn in a safe manner, and it would also burn far more quickly than you would want it to burn. This gives us a controlled burn. And so the wick is the Word of God. It transitions the oil to the point of fulfilling its purpose, and that purpose is being turned into light. The purpose of the oil is to be light. If it remains oil, it's not fulfilling its purpose. It was created for a reason, and that reason was to be translated into light. And so the illustration for us is this, is God's Holy Spirit, by way of God's holy book, translates into light in our lives, and our lives translate into, he's the best. Hey, you guys are awesome. Thank you. You guys just talk amongst yourself. Man, he's really going too far on this illustration this morning. Thank you, Melinda. But the wick is important because the word is important. We can have the presence of God's Holy Spirit, but the way that we understand it, the way that we apply it, the way that we grow in it, and the way that we share it is taught to us through God's word. You can't be a fully effective Christian without having God's word in your life. And that's why Bible study is so important. The more you know, the more you know. And the more you know, the more you can be. And so the wick is vitally important. For you light my lamp. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. I'll say this. I tried to light my lamp in a lot of different ways before I met Jesus. No bueno. You know, I'm not going to say I didn't have fun times. I'm just saying that the light that we try to create from the world is not equal to the light of God's presence in our lives. It's not the same thing. And what's very interesting is only when you meet Christ on his terms do you understand the difference. To fully understand the difference, I guess. The 119th Psalm says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is the headlights of our life. Now, the interesting thing about headlights is they only go so far, right? Do you stop driving at the point where you no longer see? No. Because the beautiful thing is the further you move forward, the further the light reaches. And such it is with the word of God. There was a time when give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning. That was kind of the sum total of my biblical understanding. Well, that's not the same today. Why? To the glory of God, as I've continued to walk, my understanding, my knowledge, my application, my courage, my effectiveness, we could go on, has grown in proportion to that. The light is the glory of God. We benefit from it while others do not understand it. I don't know if you've ever had someone that didn't really quite understand your faith. That's perfectly normal. You know why? Because as I said at the knee of my little Appalachian Pentecostal grandma, I didn't get it either often. The Bible tells us this, "For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." I didn't fully comprehend the things that my grandmother taught me. I didn't fully comprehend the things that the church I grew up in taught me. I didn't fully comprehend those things until that day when Christ became my Savior and things began to come into focus with greater understanding and greater wisdom. Some claim their light is righteous. But God knows one light from another and holds them into account. Now, sometimes we can struggle to discern a good light and a bad light. The beautiful thing about our world is sometimes we color the lights to tell us what's good, what's bad, and what's, you know, something we need to pay attention to. Imagine if we had no stoplights. I go right over here on, was it Stonewall and Stanford? People don't know how to do four-way stops. They have no idea of taking turns. And there's just four of them. When the stoplight down here at Joe Ramsey goes out, forget about it. Forget about it. No one understands taking a turn. John 8 says this, "Then Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Not only will we possess the light of life, but we're called to walk in that light. We as believers should not possess darkness. Now, sometimes darkness gets tossed on us a little bit, and we need to dust that off. But we have to be very careful that we don't invite darkness into our lives as well. Isaiah tells us this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Does that sound anything like today? Have you kind of at time to time you go, really? I mean, there are things in our world right now we have literally flipped. And you go, what? I don't understand. Proverbs 13 says this, the light of righteousness rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked, what? Goes out. My friends, the light of this world will burn on for a while. But there's coming a day. And the light that we try to produce in our lives as men and women may burn for a while. Now, it's not going to be a clean burn, and it's not going to be a healthy burn, and it's not going to be a guiding burn, but there may be a little light. But the scripture says that they will go out as well. The light that you walk with Christ in your life, is the light that never diminishes, fades away, or is snuffed out. The globe protects the light. Now, it's not a strong protection, mind you. The globe is probably the most fragile part of the entire instrument, but it plays a role in that it protects the flame from unwanted intruders or unwanted gusts of air, and we should guard our light. We should guard our light by what we see, what we hear, where we go, what we do, what we take in, what we partake in. Those are the things that guard our light. And can I say this? I had a wonderful conversation last week with someone about the importance of truthfulness. Because at times, brothers and sisters, all we have is our word. And if we don't have our word, then we really don't have anything. And the only way we can protect and guard that word is that we protect our light. Because the world, fairly or unfairly, makes a judgment on your God and your Savior based on you. That old adage, you may be the only Bible some people read, there's truth to that. There really, really is. And you know, I want to be Christ-like. I want people to see Christ in me and through me. Now, I'm not Christ by any stretch, but I want them to see something that is an accurate reflection of the God that I know and love. He says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they might see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven." I don't want to be Christ-like that people will brag on me because I'm no one but Christ in me. I'm a sinner saved by grace on a journey of faith just like you. But the Bible says that the light that is in me and the light that is in you, and then the light as we come together, that we should not hide it, that we should hold it up as a beacon. Do you know why they put lighthouses up in the air? Because if you put the light on the ground, it limits the distance in which you can see it. The globe protects the light, and it projects the light. I can say with absolute confidence that the light that I once possessed and sought after would have never, ever, ever reached the depth and the width of the light of Christ in me. My friends, I of all people have had a life exceedingly and abundantly more than I ever could have dreamed. Why? Because of the light inside of me. The light guides the path. The light opens doorways. The light makes a difference. And my friends, if you want to really leave a living legacy, if we're to step to the Lord through the doorway of death before he comes for us, then you must live a life of Christ light, because that's the thing that lives on. That's the thing that people remember. It projects and protects the light. I want to reach as far as I can to share the gospel. And that's why we do webcasts. That's why we do podcasts. It's not that people, I just want everyone to hear my voice. It's just that the teaching of the gospel, the Bible promises that if it goes out, it won't return void. If we are faithful to put the word out, God is faithful to do something with that word. Galatians 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Now the challenge that we face is this. Just like this oil lamp, we too must be refilled. Because if we are burning for the Lord, as it were, and we are projecting his light as it would be, then that oil, that energy, that presence is poured out into what we do. Now, the challenge that you and I face is this. This lamp right here is low. You guys, you're not ready for an extended darkness here, brother. But you know, an interesting thing about an oil lamp, and this applies to our lives on a lot of levels, is once that oil reaches a level where it no longer touches the wick will continue to burn for a period of time. It will. But eventually, you know what will happen is if there's no fuel for the wick, eventually the wick itself burns up. And I'd like to suggest to you this. That's the way Christians become when they're not being refilled by the Spirit. Amen. Through prayer, through Bible study, through corporate worship, through giving of time, talents, and treasures, and through service of others. That's the oil that goes in our lamp. I tell you, I get the biggest energy boost, refilling of the Holy Spirit when I have the privilege to serve others in His name. And the challenge that you and I face is we must be responsible and proactive in refilling the font. God's presence is always there. God's Holy Spirit is always willing, but we need to come and be refilled. That's one of the reasons corporate worship is important. There's nothing like being in the presence of people, in the presence of other people. It's a wonderful thing. And the other ways by which God fills us and refills us, I want to be poured out on a regular basis. But I need the Lord to refill me as I'm being poured out, because if I do not, somewhere down the road, sooner or later, we call it burnout. And that can happen, listen, that can happen in your profession, that can happen in your relationships, that can happen in your hobbies, that can happen in your faith life. So we need to make sure that we're tending the oil in the font so that we don't become statistics. It's a sad thing when I sit across my desk from a couple that have been married 20, 25, 30 years, and now their kids are stepping off into college and beginning their own lives, and they realize they're living in a house with a perfect stranger. Because everything they poured into their lives, everything they filled their font with, was their kids. Now, I'm not saying kids aren't important. They are. But you've got to keep pouring into your marriage font, because one day it's going to get back to you and her. And I told my bride when my son stepped into his life out in Tyler that I really wanted to date her better now than I did before we were married. I've learned a lot since then. And brothers and sisters, as we turn our eyes and our hearts and our hands towards a new year, we must commit to seeking the Lord's refilling in us, because there's work to do. There's opportunities that lie before us. Are there challenges? I have no doubt. But this is what I know, is that God will always provide where He guides. And when God's Holy Spirit is richly involved in our lives, whatever may come, brothers and sisters, we'll walk on. We'll walk through it. The Bible says the Lord is with us even in the valley. You need a lamp in the valley, amen? If the light consumes the oil, I'm so good. Philippians, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Man, that's what I want for the new year. I don't know what the new year holds, but I know who holds it. And I want everything that He wants to give me, because that's what I'll need. That's what I'll benefit from. The light dispels the darkness. It strengthens the weak, and it encourages the fearful. In the absence of light, our minds and our hearts write our reality. Isn't that true? In our weakest moments, our minds and our hearts begin to write our reality. And I want you to know, sometimes our minds and our hearts don't write truthful realities. So we must be diligent to have the light in our lives, that it will dispel the darkness, and that our minds and our hearts will not overwhelm us with untruthfulness. Can I say this, and maybe you won't move to another church? You know, sometimes I can be that way. If I get tired and my oil gets low and there's obstacles and challenges, my mind and my heart begin to write that reality. And my mind and my heart aren't always truthful, and they're most assuredly not always the most optimistic things. And so what I feel may not be what's true. God is truth. And so my feelings need to mirror what His truth says, not what I feel. So let's look. 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, we must be prepared, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. If I were going to point to this lamp, I would go, this lamp is not ready. This lamp will give for a little while, not for many seasons. We must be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? We must be filled whether we're sitting in church or sitting in traffic. We must be ready to shine the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go, no matter how dark the room may be. We need to let that little light shine. Because understand this, in a dark room and in a dark world, there are people much like those miners underground looking for the light of life. And my friends, we're the privileged container of it. What do we need? Here's a quick checklist for those of you who need checklists. Our lamp, it is filled with the proper fuel, God's word, God's spirit. It has the proper wick. It has the proper ignition source. It has a globe for the protection of the flame. It has a globe that helps to project the flame. It is easily visible to all. Do you know why more often than not people hide their light? It's because it's not as light as it should be. And it dispels the darkness. It dispels the darkness in my personal life. It dispels the darkness in the life in which I live. And my friends, there's no greater joy than being the light that dispels the darkness in any room. Ask the Lord to help you to become that type of light, and He will. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. And Lord, we thank you that we do not have to go about life empty or filled with the improper fuels that our world offers to us. But Father, by faith through grace, we can be filled with your oil, with your spirit. Lord, we can experience your presence. We can experience your power. Lord, we can claim your promises. Lord, we can enjoy as your presence is transformed into light as we look and learn and love through your word. Father, we look to a new year and all that it could be. Lord, the only measuring stick we have is history. And Lord, this history has been pretty tough. But Lord, with you, we don't have to be afraid. Lord, we ask that you would stay near to us. And Lord, even greater than that, Lord, we would choose to stay near to you as we turn to this new year. Lord, help us to be a light. Lord, help us to be a great year in you, by you, and for you. And we'll be careful to give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.